this sort of situation.
And even at church, you know, Jesse was saying this morning, has this ever happened with us before? And it hasn't really happened before that we've had the power out. And it's nice. It's nice to throw a bit of a mix in. And so I remember being in the Philippines a couple of years ago, and we were preaching, and it was not quite like this. It was actually probably the most, it wasn't bad, but it was uncomfortable, definitely. Uncomfortable situation to preach in. And I remember we were under this tin roof. It was like 45 degrees or something outside, stinking hot. There's those wooden pews, and everyone's squished in together, and on one wooden pew is like 20 people all squished in. During the worship service, a blind man came in with his walking stick, and he's trying to walk down the middle section of the aisle, and he's hitting people as he's walking in trying to find an empty seat. And so he's tapping people, and I'm getting tapped on the side, and I'm like, oh, okay. It started to make me feel quite uncomfortable, and it was very hot and sweaty. They had two pedestal fans, one here facing the audience or the congregation. And as it's facing them, blowing and cooling them out, I'm like, oh, this is nice, getting a bit of a breeze here. Then when I got up to preach, I realized the fans weren't facing me at all. And so my shirt was sticking to my belly. I was dripping in sweat. There was roosters crowing outside, so they were rebuking me, the roosters. And then two dogs come down the middle of the aisle and start running around on the altar, and they were trying to multiply on the altar. I'm not kidding. It was very uncomfortable. I wasn't preaching on Genesis, be fruitful and multiply, but the dogs just sensed the prophetic anointing, and they just started doing their own thing. And to be honest, I'm a little bit like Pastor Rob. We can get distracted very easily when we're preaching, and I tell you what, it was really hard to not notice that. And one of the old ladies, an older lady, she probably would have been in her 80s, she picked up a stick and started chasing the dogs out. And so they go up down the middle aisle, and everyone's watching them, and I'm like, what do I do? So pretty happy to be here in this situation this morning. Please don't get any ideas. Let's look at the Word of God today. This morning I'm not going to talk about the light necessarily. I'm not going to talk about when the lights go out or anything like that. But I'm going to talk about God, and God's good. And the Bible says He is the light, so it's probably close enough. And this morning we're going to read from Psalm 139 together. And I love this psalm. And I've been meditating on this over the last few days and weeks. And there's every time I open it up, even just this morning opening up, there were some fresh things that was dropping into my spirit. And so I want to share with you out of this wonderful psalm, Psalm 139. And if there was a title for this message, it'd be something like Our Almighty Friend. Our Almighty Friend. Because I don't know if you realize this or you believe this, but God is our Creator. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. But there's something about this wonderful God that we worship that He actually wants to be closer than a friend to you and I. It's amazing. He is our Almighty Friend. And we see this depicted in Genesis. You go right back to the beginning of the Bible. In Genesis, we see Adam and Eve created by God. And Adam and Eve, when they're created, it says that God positioned them in a garden. He placed them in a garden called Eden. You know, I find it interesting. He didn't place them in a mine to go and mine and do a lot of work. He didn't place them in a business center. He didn't place them in a paddock to go and work the paddock. He put them in a garden. There's something about gardens that, yeah, there's work to do, but it's desirable, it's pleasurable, it's exciting, it's friendly, it's comfy, it's cozy, it's warm. And God positioned Adam and Eve in a garden called Eden, in a garden called pleasure, in a garden of intimacy is where He positioned Adam and Eve, the first humans we read about in the Scriptures. And when God positioned them there, the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the morning. And you know, it goes on to say that they actually could hear the footsteps of the Spirit of God walking in the garden. Can you imagine that? How awesome that is? And what that tells me is that regardless of my situation today, regardless of whether I sense the presence of God right in this moment or not, I know that his intention for humanity in the very beginning is that we would walk with our almighty friend. Is that we would walk with the presence of God. I don't know if Adam and Eve saw him, but I know they heard him. And I know they sensed his presence. And I know they spoke to him. And they had dialogue. They had a friendship happening with God. And we see that right in the beginning. But today, you know, it's quite obvious. The fact that we're even having this conversation today is a reminder that maybe that's not how we all feel. Like, we don't all feel like we can walk and talk with God every moment of the day like Adam and Eve might have had the opportunity to. And so what happened in between? We know that Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they chose independence from God. It wasn't God that forced them to sin. God gave them free will. It wasn't God that turned his back on humanity. It was humanity that chose to reject God's ways and do things their own way. They chose independence. You know, I think there's something about us as humans. We aren't created to be independent beings. We're actually created for community. That's why we do church. But we're also created that our bodies actually rely on the breath of God. You know how I know that Adam and Eve, how I know we are created for the presence of God, to walk with the presence of God? Because all I have to do is wait a minute. And eventually I'm going to take a breath in. And I realized that Adam wasn't actually an animated being. He wasn't actually a living being until God breathed life into him. So if you're able to breathe life this morning, good news, you're created to walk in the presence of God. You're created to have a relationship with our almighty friend. And that's really good news. But something happened when Adam and Eve chose to walk independent from God and they ate of the tree, the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They chose to do things their own way. And they were convinced by temptation. They were convinced by the enemy that they would become like God. And in a way, they kind of did. They became their own gods, which means God said, you've chosen your own independence away from me. It wasn't God who turned his back on them. It was them who turned their back on God.
The interesting thing is that when you read the scriptures, you actually see that Adam and Eve were already quite like God. They didn't need to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They were created in God's image. But they chose independence. And I say this to people
all the time. I say, don't strive for independence. Strive for dependence on the one who created you. When you have dependence on the one who created you, there's more freedom than you can find in independence in the world. It's amazing. There's this message that goes out of like, try and be independent, try and do things on your own, try and be a lone wolf, try and hustle and work really hard and all this sort of stuff. Man, I just want to be dependent on God. He's our provider.
He's our heavenly Father. He's our
mighty friend. And so in the beginning, that is what God had intended for us. And we find ourselves here today, and we're going to read through Psalm 139 and come into this place of remembrance. This psalm was written by David, and David was writing it as a worship song or poetry unto the Lord. And he starts reflecting on some of the key attributes of God and starts reflecting on how close and how near God really is. So if you have a Bible with you this morning, you might like to open up to this with me and follow along, because we're going to read the whole psalm. And so we'll follow along together. If you have notes on your phone or you want to take some notes on things that God speaks to you during the message, you can. And before we read this together, I'd love to just stop and pray and pause for a moment. Ask the Lord to speak to us. So Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're here in this room today. I thank you, Lord, that in your scripture, we can hear your voice. We can see you speaking to us even today. Thousands of years later, we can hear the voice of God that was spoken. And Father, I pray today, speak to us afresh. If any of us here today be doubting your love for us or doubting our invitation to walk in your presence, God, I pray that you would remind us today and give us an awareness that you are with us and right beside us and that you are closer than a friend. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Well, let's look at Psalm 139. We're going to kick off in verse 1. I'm reading from the NIV. I'm not sure what you're reading from this morning, but enjoy. Psalm 139, verse 1 says this. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to understand. The first thing we see in this psalm that it reveals to us is that we are intimately known. We are intimately known. In the next scripture going on, it says that he knit us together in our mother's womb. We are intimately known. You know, a key attribute of God and what makes him different from just a spiritual being, the key attribute of our God is that God is omniscient. That God is omniscient, which means he knows all things. God knows all things. And you know what? He doesn't just know your name. He doesn't just know about you, like knows who you are. He doesn't just know you from afar. This word know that's used in the Bible, when it talks about God knowing us, it's actually like a brother would know a brother or a mother would know their child. You know, there's a different type of knowing. It's like, I know you, but I don't know you closely like a mother would know their child. You know, we're still building that relationship, but it's saying here, God knows us. He knows the number of hairs that are on your head. He knows your mess. He knows the pain that you've walked through. He knows the trauma that you've experienced in your past. He knows the struggles that you go through. He knows the time that you've sinned. He knows the time you've gossiped about people you know you shouldn't have. He knows the problems that are going on all around you. He knows the bad habits that you have. And he knows the beauty. He knows everything about you. And this is the amazing thing about God is even though he knows all of that stuff about you, your mess and your beauty, he still calls you to follow him. And it's amazing how wonderful our God is, because I hear about other gods in the world. I hear about other religions and how their God is depicted. And I'm like, man, I would never want to follow that sort of God. Not that they're real, but I would never want to follow that sort of God. But I'm so thankful that God has revealed himself to know everything about us and still say, follow me. Still say, follow. You know the things that you don't share with people because you're ashamed that they will reject you or they won't like you? The things that you hide and the mask you put on so that people don't know those hidden attributes about you, God knows that and he still wants to be with you.
Come on.
He still likes you.
Yeah.
He still loves you. He's still calling you to follow him. And so this whole scripture really starts to define how much God knows us, how valuable we are to him. And if we're talking about value this morning and God knowing our value, how do you determine the value of something? Because I know that if you're anything like me, when I first started to follow Jesus and I started on that path of really wanting to follow after God, I believed in him, but then there came a time where I wanted to follow him. When I started to follow him, I started to feel a little bit invaluable. Like I didn't feel very, very valuable. I didn't feel very worthy because I'm like, God, you're so holy. You're so amazing. Look at me. Look how weak I am. Look how much I fall into temptation. I fall into sin constantly, God. You're amazing. How do I follow you? And I didn't feel very valuable in that moment. But as I started to read through the scriptures and listen to what God has been saying to humanity, he actually reveals our value to us. And how do you find out that something is valuable? Value is often determined by the price it's paid for. Value is determined by the price it's paid for. You want to know how valuable you are? You are valuable enough for God to put on flesh and hang on a cross and die and suffer to show you your worth, to win you back, to purchase you back into relationship with him. It was us who sinned and turned away. We deserved the cross, but God said, you know what? Even though you've taken your own path, you've chosen to walk independent from me, God says, I want to show you how much you're worth. I want to show you your value. And he paid the price for our sin, for our transgressions, for the things that we done wrong on the cross to win us back. God loves you. He sees you. He knows every detail about you. And he still loves you. Is that good news this morning?
Yeah.
Amen. Same. All right. Second thing we read about in this scripture is that we are never truly alone. And in verse 7 to 12, let's read, picking up in verse 7, it says this. Where can I go from your spirit, David says? Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up into the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths of hell, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will not hold me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is of light to you. We are never truly alone. You know what that tells me? That tells me that even on my darkest day, even on the worst day, when the whole world turns against me, even if my whole family turned against me, even if I felt depressed, even if I felt weak, I felt like a failure, even if I lost my job, if everything else turned away from me, I know that even on the darkest day, if I could just become aware that the presence of God is with me, it's not so bad. The darkest days can actually seem bright when we recognize that the Creator of heaven and earth, who holds all things together by His word, is right beside us. He is closer to you than the air that you're breathing. And no matter what you're going through, if you can position your awareness not on your problem but on His presence, your darkest night will begin to turn into day. I'm telling you, man, I've seen it, especially when I've gone on the mission field. I see people that have nothing, but they have everything. I was listening to a missionary preach the other day. Her name is Heidi Baker. Maybe you've heard of her. And she's sharing this story, and she says, I said to one of the pastors in Africa where she was, and she said to one of this man, she said, you own nothing. I feel so bad. I feel so terrible because you guys serve God with all that you have. You lay your life down for these people, to preach the gospel to these people, this local African pastor. And she said, but you have nothing. And he rebuked her. He said, excuse me. Don't you dare say that I have nothing, for I have God. Yeah. And it's like this faith within him that I don't care about the materialistic things of the world. I've got the presence of God. That's the greatest blessing, the greatest gift I could ever ask for. I don't care if I'm walking through a valley of the shadow of death, for He is with me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's that type of faith that's available for us today, to walk with this awareness that we are never alone. God will be as involved in your life as you let Him. He will be involved in your life as you let Him. The more you invite Him, the more He becomes involved. Maybe you see people around you, maybe you've heard of Christians or people that have these stories where God just shows up in their world. And maybe, I know there's times where I feel a little bit jealous. Like, wow, that person has so many miracles. Things just work out for them. There's just a favor on their life. And do you know what is different about those people? Is they actually invite God in every day. It's like waking up in the morning and saying, God, I thank you for this day. I thank you that you're with me. Lord, I just invite you to walk with me when I go to work today. I just invite you to jump in the car with me as I drive into work. You know, sometimes I turn the radio off and I turn my music off in the car. I've only got about 7 minutes to get to work. And I turn that down. I just start talking to the Lord on my way in. I love going for long distance drives just a little bit out of town by myself, because I can turn everything off and I can just chat to the God. And I don't always hear His voice come back to me, but I sense His presence. And He knows what I need to, He knows what I need to say. He knows what I'm going to say. But He doesn't push Himself into your life. He's a gentleman. He waits for the invitation. James 4 verse 8 says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you.
Come on.
He's taken the first step. He stepped down from heaven and laid Himself out on the cross to say, here's an open invitation to walk with me. He sent His Holy Spirit to come and be with us. But it's our choice to invite Him into the daily moments. Maybe it's going for a walk. Maybe it's while you're brushing your hair in the morning, getting ready for church. Maybe it's while you're cooking dinner or mowing the lawn. All of those times of day, I like to stop and just become aware. I don't even have to say much. I'm just thankful for His presence. Things start to change when you believe and change your mindset that you are never alone. He is always with you. He is always with you. People, I get a bit passionate about this, and maybe I'm a bit too full on or super spiritual or whatever people say, but some people say to me, oh, you went to the movies on your own. I said, no, I didn't go alone. God's always with me.
Yeah.
Oh, you're sitting on your own, Cain. Why are you sitting at that cafe table on your own? I'm not alone. The Lord's with me. But I feel it. Like, I'm not just saying it. I really feel it. Like, I don't feel alone anymore. Because I've had dark nights, man. I've had dark nights. I remember being in high school and stuff going on at home in my family, and I felt so alone and so broken. And I'd sit in my room crying, and I'd put my my ear pods in, and I'd start playing some worship music, and I'd sense the presence of God come over me as I'm crying in my brokenness. And in that moment, God spoke to me and said, "Cain, you are never alone." And ever since that day, man, I've felt it. I've never felt alone the same way. I always feel like His presence is with me. This is a promise and a mindset that you can embrace this morning. Amen. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Jesus. The third thing that is revealed in this scripture, the second one being, we are never truly alone, talks about God's omnipresence. His omnipresence, that God can be anywhere. He can be with me on the toilet, and He can be with you while you're mowing the lawn. He can be everywhere with us. He's not afraid of our mess. He's not afraid to walk with you into your mess. He wants to be with you and me wherever we go. Yeah. So the third thing we see about God here is that we are under God's authority. This is talking about His omnipotence. He's all powerful. He's all authority. This is God's omnipotence. And we pick it up in verse 13 to 18. Let's have a look at this one this morning. Verse 13 to 18. "For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of all of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of the sand. When I awake, I am still with you." God's thoughts for you outweigh the sand that's on the beach. Isn't that crazy? That He is so like involved in your life. You know, I've felt love at times. I've felt love for my siblings. I felt love for my family. When I was in high school, I had high school crushes. And I've felt those feelings of love. And you know what God spoke to me about recently? He says, "Cain, you know those feelings of love that you have for others? How much more have I got those for you?" Because if you were created in my image, I put those feelings and desires in there. And so your desire to care and nurture your siblings and protect them, those are thoughts and feelings that I've put in there. They come from me. That feeling to love and serve people that don't deserve it, that comes from me, Cain. How much more does God love you? But also this scripture, it explains to us that we're under authority. That God created us. He formed us in our mother's womb. That He took white bones and blue veins and red blood cells and he formed it and knit it together. He is our first authority. And there's a lot of people that live their life as if they're not under authority. They live their life still like Adam and Eve made the decision to be independent from God, to do whatever they want. Yes, we have free will, but there's something special about recognizing the authority that you're under. You know, if you want to have authority, you need to be under authority. I have authority in this church as the youth and young adults pastor because my authority, Pastor Rob, has given me that authority. Pastor Rob has authority because it's been given to him by the state ACC, the Australian Christian Churches, have given him authority to pastor this church. The state has authority because, and it goes up and up and up and up and up. Every authority has to be given from God. And an important thing is, yes, you have free will. Yes, you can make choices and decisions and you have the opportunity to choose to do what you want. But the very fact that you have free will, the authority to have free will, is because God gave it to you. And we need to come into this realization again as believers that it's not like Jesus just saves us and we do whatever we want. We need to recognize we're under authority. If you want to walk in the kingdom, you've got to know that you've got to walk with the King. And there's a way of doing things. And so we are under authority. You want more authority? Learn to submit to His authority. You want more power? You want to see more miracles? Learn to come under His authority. Allow Him to lead you and guide you in life. When you're under God's authority, He has the final say. What about my health? When you're under God's authority, He has the final say. What if I'm feeling feelings of depression? Well, if you're under God's authority, depression doesn't have the final say. He has the final say. What about my eternal resting place? If I'm under God's authority, He has the final say. What about what happens to this world? If this world's going to end or not, if this world's going to go into a war or whatever happens, the rumors that are spreading across the nations, whatever happens to this world, if you recognize you're under God's authority, you don't have to fear because you're in His hands. We are under God's authority. Fearfully and wonderfully made by our Almighty God. So, to be fearfully and wonderfully made means to recognize that this life is a gift. And gifts should be treasured. I don't just receive gifts from people and throw them in the bin. Gifts are treasured and honored. This life that we've been given, fearfully and wonderfully made, it is a gift. And it's our choice to choose how we use it. It's our choice to steward it responsibly, this gift of life. We are not an accident. We are not a chemical construction. We are not gases that accidentally formed together and one day exploded and poof, here we are. We are not an accident. You were positioned on this earth. You were given breath for a reason. You have a purpose, and God created you for a purpose, and that is to walk with God, to know Him and to make Him known. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And then the last part of this scripture today we'll close on. If we go to verse 17, we start to hear and recognize that judgment belongs to God and God alone. In verse 17, we're going to pick up. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God, how vast the sum of all of them. To count them would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. If only you, God, would slay the wicked, David says. Get the wicked away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them as my enemies. Now search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is an offensive way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. I love that prayer. I think we should pray that at the end of today. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the path of everlasting. Now, just because David, in his psalm here, starts saying, I hate my enemies, doesn't mean you have authority to go and say, I hate my enemies. Doesn't mean you should go around telling people that don't know God that you hate them. This is David expressing his anxious thoughts to God. He's been attacked and mocked and ridiculed for following one God instead of worshipping many. He's been mocked and judged for trying to follow a path of righteousness. And here David starts to express, God, this is how I feel towards my enemies, but Lord, search my heart and lead me in the way of everlasting. Do you know, it's probably not a good thing to go and vent to everyone about how much you're upset with something that I said this morning. Or maybe someone greeted you on the door and they said something to you about the way you looked and you took it the wrong way and got offended and then you could spread that throughout the church. It's probably not a good thing to go and vent that to people and gossip and spread anxious thoughts like that. But you know, you can talk to God about it. He's closer than a friend. You can talk to God about it. This scripture tells us that judgment belongs to the Lord. It shows us that at the end of the day, God has the final say. It's not David who chooses who goes to heaven or hell. It's not a king or a pastor or a priest who chooses where they go when they die. It's not someone that gets to make that decision. It's only the Lord. The Lord God has the final say. He is our authority. He is almighty. And He is our judge. He has the final say. And when I thought about this scripture, I start to think about people that I know in my world that don't know that God thinks like this about them, that His thoughts for them outweigh the sand on the beach, that His love for them and the way He created them and knit them together in their mother's womb. I start thinking about people who don't know this reality, that they have a creator, they were born with a purpose, they're not an accident, they're not by chance here on this earth, that God has put them here for such a time and a place and a season. And when I think about those people, I want to share the love of God with them. But something I'm recognizing is that it's not my job to get everyone to love God. It's not my job to get everyone to love God. I actually can't do that. I'm actually not that great. And also, I'm actually not that much smarter than everyone else. Although I know that God loves us and I know that He has plans for us, it doesn't mean I'm better than anyone else. It doesn't mean I've got so much to offer them. I just know God and He's revealed Himself to me and I want to share that with people, but I can't make everyone love God. I think my job is to make sure that everyone has the opportunity to know God loves them. I can't be their judge. I can't make the decision for them. I can't make everyone love God. I can't make my family follow Jesus. But I do, my job is the responsibility to let them know that God does love them. So let them know that He has created them.
So good.
And so the choice is in our hands. It's in our hands. What are you going to do for the rest of your life with this crazy love that God has for us? What are you going to do with the unconditional, generous, unearned, passionate, eternal, radical love of God that He has for you? How are you going to express that in the world today? How are you going to walk with Him in your workplace? How are you going to respond to that grace that He showed us on the cross? What's your steps going to look like? Is God just going to be a religious figure in your life? Is God just going to be your heavenly Father that you see in heaven? Or is God going to actually become your almighty friend and walk with you daily? Because you know, revealed in this psalm today, His love is so for you. You can't escape His presence. There's nowhere you can go to escape His presence. In the highest of highs and the lowest of lows, in the darkest night and the brightest day, His presence is there and ready for you to reach out and walk with Him. So this morning, let's pray. And I'm going to go back to that last verse there in verse 23 and 24 to come around this reality that God sees us. He knows us. Everything about us. He still wants to walk with you. And so God, we thank You. We thank You for Your presence this morning. Thank You for Your great love. God, today I pray in Jesus' name that right now, Holy Spirit, let Your presence begin to move through this room. Come, Holy Spirit, and make us aware of how close You are. We want to experience more of Your glory. And why don't you just say that from your heart? God, I invite You into my life today. I invite You into my week, God. I don't want to live absent from You. I don't want to live like You're far away, God. I want to walk with You. Like Adam and Eve walked in the garden in the cool of the morning. Lord, so we want to walk with You. And God, we pray like David prayed. Search our hearts, O God. Know every part. And see if there is any wicked way in us. If there is, Lord, I pray You'd remove it like weeds from a garden. And Lord, lead us on the path of everlasting. Lead us in Your ways, God. Be our shepherd this week. May our lives be aligned with You. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, there you go. Psalm 139. It's a great one. I love the Psalms because when you read them, you're not reading someone speaking and telling you exactly the way of life, but you've got someone sharing their prayer with God. And here we see David in this psalm sharing his prayer with God and how intimately close he desired to be with Him and how God walked with him and led him and guided him through those seasons of his life. And so I encourage you, open up the Psalms this week. They're so good. They're really juicy. They're full of gold. So much to be found in them. So open them up and you can pray out these things. You can sometimes open a psalm and find a good one just to pray out and let it be your prayer to God when you don't know what to pray for. Is that all right? That bless you this morning? I hope so. Well, I'm a bit sweaty standing up here. I don't know about you down there. And so here's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to conclude our service here. If you'd like to stick around and chat and hang out, we've got a space around the sides. The wind could be blowing out there. It might be quite nice out there or in the foyer out the front. But it's been great to have you with us this morning, family. We love you. And next week, look forward to coming back to the powerhouse that actually has some power in it. Come on. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. God bless you, family. Have an amazing week. And remember to walk with God. Amen.